Praise the Lord. My, it's beautiful to gather in the house of the Lord tonight as individuals, as families, and seek the Lord in this new year, serve Him with all our hearts. Message tonight, faithful wounds, deceitful kisses. Proverbs 27, 5 to 6. King James Version says, open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Why was Proverbs written? To give us wisdom, to give us insight into life, how we should conduct ourselves, how we should order ourselves in our relationships, in our manners. Well, we're going to come back to Proverbs 27, 5 to 6 in a moment, but let's pick up 1 John 3, 16 to 19. The Apostle John says, by this we know love, because Jesus laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed, that's in action, and truth, and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. Let us not love, the Bible says, in word or in tongue, that is only, but in deed and in truth, in action, in steadfastness of life. It's possible that we can have a shallow view of true biblical love, that it can be more sentimental than it is steadfast. The Bible says, let us not love in word and tongue only, but in deed and in truth. So tonight, trust we hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. Ruth chapter 1, here's an interesting scripture, verses 14 to 17, story of Naomi, Ruth, and Orpah. Naomi returning to the land of Judah from Moab, and the two daughters-in-law went with her. The Bible says, then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Orpah kissed, Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her gods, to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. Wow. Orpah kissed, but Ruth clave. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. It wasn't insincere, but Ruth clung to her, a mother-in-law in time of need. And Ruth said, I'm going to go with you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to help establish your new life. You're all alone. Orpah kissed her. Ruth clung to her. In time of need, I'm not so much interested so much in those who will kiss me, though some even kiss you goodbye. But I am interested in those who will stand with me. Isn't that true for all of us? In time of need, in time of difficulty, in time when we really need people, we're not so much interested in those who have kissed us or may kiss us goodbye. We're interested much more who will stand with me, who will walk with me, who will help me, who will be with me through the trial and the future and the days I face. Well, Proverbs 27, 5 to 6, open rebuke is better than secret New King James says, than hidden love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Somebody that doesn't stand, even though they've kissed you, in times of allegiance and loyalty and commitment in prior days. The Bible says better open rebuke is better than hidden love. In other words, true, biblical, genuine love will be open. It will speak. It will talk. It will share. It may even rebuke a person. There may be disagreement. Things might have to be talked through. But true biblical love will stand in the end and not forsake. Open rebuke is better than hidden love. That is, love that has things hidden in it that are deceitful, that are hateful, that are bitter, hidden inside the person. And instead of speaking and working things out in life, in relationships, it's just harbored down inside, and one day it breaks, and all of a sudden the kisses of a friend were deceitful. Luke 22:47. My, this is significant. The arrest of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as he was led off to interrogation and crucifixion. Luke 22:47. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? What a spiteful action. We can hardly take it in. Matthew 26:47-50, and while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him. Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him away. You know, I read that line there. To me it should say, foe, why have you come? Judas came and kissed Jesus. Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Why did he call Judas friend? Judas had walked with Jesus for 3 years. Together they'd been in company. They had fellowshiped. They had talked. They had ministered together. They sat around campfires night after night after night on the road as they went through the land of Israel ministering in the towns and villages. They had prayed together. They had rejoiced together. They had laughed together. Jesus said, friend, what has happened to you, Judas? You become a foe. All those kisses of the last 3 years, how great the Son of God is, who he is, how wonderful it is to walk with Jesus, to serve him. Those kisses had become deceitful, and Judas had turned into a foe. You may kiss your bride. To have and to hold from this day forward, to love and to cherish, and to be faithful to you alone, thereto I pledge thee my love. But what can happen? Stresses of life can come, temptations, failed expectations, economic pressures, social pressures, family pressures, raising of sons and daughters, all kinds of stresses and strains. Can those kisses become deceitful? We all know they can. We all know they can. You know, faithful are the wounds of a friend. If things are bothering and there's contention and strife, then it's time to open up. It's time to say, we got to work it out. We got to work together. We have to solve this in the true biblical way. We have to work together in God. Open rebuke is better than love that hides grievance and aggravation. And we all know it's true. Well, stand by your man. I should write a song. And stand by your woman. You know, marriage and all relationships in life, relationships are something that have to be worked out. Marriage is two people learning to live together. And it goes beyond marriage, all relationships at your workplace, in society, in the church, in family and clan. We have to learn how to live together and work out life together. And that is the way of the Lord. And so, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Sometimes somebody may say something and say, I don't agree with this, or that's bothering me. We got to get to the bottom of this. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend, when they speak to you, will not turn into a deceitful kiss, but they will stand with you all the way through and be bound in covenant relationship. That is the way of the Lord. Our district pastors, Vincent and Angela Danan, who look after the marriage counseling, well, a couple, two, 3 years ago, we had a marriage video series, and one of the great statements in there by Gary Thompson, I mean, this is gold. God's primary purpose for us, for marriage, is to make us holy, not just happy, by transforming us to be more like Christ. God's primary purpose for marriage is to make us holy, not just happy, by transforming us to be more like Christ. And I look at that, and I've added another word in there. God's primary purpose for marriage and for all relationships is to make us holy and helpful. And then we will find out what true happiness is. If our goal is happiness in our relationships, I'm going beyond the marriage, obviously. If our goal in relationships is happiness, then we may experience happiness at times, from time to time. But what happens when testing comes, when strain comes? What happens then? But if we will become holy and we will become helpful, then we can also become happy. Holiness is sanctification, purging our lives of the dross of selfishness. Helpfulness is service, giving, helping, and out of that comes happiness. Observe and serve. Say to yourself, what can I do to be a blessing? How can I serve my home more? How can I serve the church more? How can I serve my workplace more? My fellow workers and my employers, what can I do? Well, observe and serve. Look for things to do. Look around. Don't procrastinate so much. Do the menial tasks. God's way is holy, helpful, happy. Sanctification, service, satisfaction. That is the way of the Lord. Now, John chapter 12 or 13 and verse 12. So when Jesus had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Jesus washed the feet of his disciples. Not one of them would stoop to do that task that night. It was the most menial task required of household servants. There was no servant there. When Jesus washed their feet, he sat down and said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed, the King James says, happy are you if you do them. Happy are you if you do them. Why could Jesus wash the disciples' feet? Why couldn't the disciples, one of them, get down and wash the feet of the disciples and of the Lord himself? And the only answer is they were still too human. They were still caught up in natural thinking. They were still too preoccupied with self. That's not my job. I don't do that. That's beneath me. That's for the household slave. Let another brother do it. Let my wife do it. Let my husband do it. Too caught up with self. But Jesus was holy, and Jesus was helpful, and he said, happy are you if you do these things. Our beautiful Lord, you know, the love of God is a feeling, but it's more than a feeling. The love of God is affection, but it's more than affection. The love of God is faithfulness. The love of God is a faithful love. If there is breach between a person and God, it is not God who has walked away from the person. It is the person who has walked away from God. God is absolutely faithful and steadfast in his love to those who come to him and draw near to him. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. One of the great words in the Old Testament for the love of God is the word loving kindness, translated steadfast love or covenant love. God will stand. God will stay with us. He's a faithful God. One thing all of us say about God is he is faithful. That's why I trust him. You never have to worry about God turning against you, slandering you, gossiping about you, taking up some kind of negative spirit to you. He is absolutely faithful. His love is steadfast love. Now, faithful are the wounds of a friend. See, God may correct us. Open rebuke is better than hidden love. God will correct us. He will say, he'll convict us. That's not right. I want you to change that. And so on. But in the end, he doesn't walk away. He's faithful. He's patient. I'll work with you. I'll take you through. Let's work together. Let's sanctify your life. Let's make you more holy and helpful and happy. What a wonderful Savior we have. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. 2 Timothy 2, 11 to 13. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. We walked away. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. The prodigal father, so filled with abundant goodness. That's the other side of that meaning, waiting for the son to come home. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. The steadfast love of God. He will never turn on us. He will work with us. He's patient. He's kind. His wounds are faithful. Hosea 11, 7 to 9. Let's have the worship ministry come. The Lord said, my people are bent on backsliding from me. Though they call to the Most High, none at all exalt him. How can I give you up, Ephraim? How can I give you up, my people? How can I hand you over, Israel? How can I make you like Admah? How can I set you like Zeboiim? Those were two other towns that were destroyed when Sodom and Gomorrah were judged by fire. God says, my heart churns within me. My sympathy is stirred. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in your midst, and I will not come with terror. God says, I'll come with correction. I've got to come with some judgment, because I'm a just God, and I cannot let sin prevail and take its course the way it is in my people. God says, I will come and judge. I will reprove, open rebuke. God says, but I am there waiting to receive my people and that they turn unto me. That's the faithfulness of our God. How faithful, how sure. You know, tonight, open rebuke is better than secret love. I trust that as we make our way in life and we grow in Christ, that our kisses will not be deceitful, but that we will be open. We will share openly. We will be able to speak if things need correction and adjustment. But we are people that will stand by our families, stand by our marriages, stand by our children, stand by our brothers and sisters in Christ, and have that steadfast love of God. Let's become more steadfast. Let's become more steadfast. Is there anything in your heart tonight that is working against steadfast love in you? Are there any cracks? Nobody can see them. They're so fine. Are there any cracks in your love tonight? Your love to God? Is there temptation working? And you say, I can feel that. I can feel that tension. I can feel that cracking in me. Tonight's a night to say, Lord, I give you my steadfast love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You're correcting me, but you will stand with me. You will never turn on me. I give myself back to you. What about marriages tonight? Are there cracks beneath the surface? Things that are hidden in the love. Kisses have been there. But there's an enemy working to bring a deceit in there, to cause separation. God's design in marriage is to make us holy, not just happy. Say, Lord, you're working. I need this relationship. I need my wife. I need my husband. I need my family. I need to get this independence. I need to get this stubbornness. I need to get this annoyance and reluctance out of my heart so I can serve as Jesus did. I can get down and do the menial tasks and not even think twice about it, because I'm holy and I'm helpful. And because of that, I am happy. I am satisfied to do the will of my Father. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God has anointed you with the oil of joy and gladness. This is the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. Other relationships, other situations, we know how things begin to work in us. Spoken words of life and blessing and commitment, and all of a sudden there's that enemy and there's the flesh, and begin to work down on the deep inside of us. Some word, some seed, some little crack, because the enemy wants to widen it. We say, Lord, I'm going to deal with that. Do I love myself so much that I won't deal with myself? A Am I so in love with self that I won't rebuke myself and say, change your attitude. That's wrong. That's not of God. That's not right. You get back to the Bible. You get back to humility. You get back to repentance and serving God with all your heart. Don't you take up pride and some injustice and some bitterness and some negativity and some causticness in your life. Wow. Open rebuke. It's better than things hidden on the inside of me. And my kisses become deceitful. Like Judas, from a friend to a foe. Do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? How many have kissed the Lord? Oh, I love you, Lord. I give you my life. You've saved me. I'm yours. I'm going to walk with you all my days. And years down the line, the temptation, the struggle, just the things of life, things creeping in, and now they're far from God. And those kisses became deceitful because they wouldn't reprove their own heart to walk on in righteousness and allegiance with the Lord. Proverbs 17:17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Let's stand together in the presence of the Lord tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Is the Holy Spirit working us tonight? Anything inside of us that is working against steadfast love and harmony, blessing in our homes, in our churches, in our workplace, wherever we go, in society, anything inside of us. Let's take it out of our hearts tonight. Say, Lord, make me more holy. Make me more helpful because I want to be more happy. Let me take on sanctification. Service, so I can be more satisfied. Walk out my days with you. Hallelujah. Let's close out this evening. If you'd like prayer, would like to make your way to the altar to seek the Lord, please slip out from where you are. But let's offer our hearts to the Lord tonight and let's receive this word. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Let's ask God to work in us covenant love and steadfast love, the assurance of our hearts before Him that we would not love only in word and tongue, but we would be those who are constant and remain in deed and in truth. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.